Fox and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brent Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back in to Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we start our 5 o'clock hour. And joining us to start this 5 o'clock hour on a Monday, DeMichael Cole, the Grizzlies beat writer at the Commercial Appeal. He joins us to talk some Grizzlies and the NBA playoffs. DeMichael joins us now. DeMichael, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I want to talk a lot about the NBA playoffs. Plenty to get to after a very eventful weekend, but I do want to start with some Grizzlies talk. You wrote a story earlier this morning about the Grizzlies and who they could draft at the NBA draft. You had a couple different prospects lined up and kind of what some scouts had been telling you about those players. Who did you list in there? Who do you think could be likely candidates for the Grizzlies to draft in the upcoming NBA draft?
Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of variety there because we don't know exactly where they're going to fall yet. So I have another story that's going to come out in the morning I think will be very insightful for the fans from the perspective of, you know, the draft lottery and the history of the team in the seventh spot. So that'll come out tomorrow. But you'll see in that story that, historically speaking, under the new system, the teams projected to pick seventh, where the Grizzlies are right now, has moved up almost every year. Like, and when you move up from seven, you can't go up to six or five. It's mathematically impossible based on the way that the lottery system is designed. So if you move up from seven, you automatically jump up to four. So that's happened a lot recently. And if the Grizzlies get into the top four, they're in prime position to get one of the two bigs that makes the most sense. I mean, I think the one we've had our eye on the most is Donovan Clinkin out of UConn, and he's been getting top five pub lately after initially, you know, back lottery, late first-round pick talk. He's just, I mean, a dominant, you know, March run, a dominant season as a rim protector. He's 250 pounds, you know, he's 7'2", like, really good size. So he's getting a lot of pub, and if you get in that top five, you kind of solidify yourself in the range for him. But in the story that you mentioned, I talked about some plug-and-play options. I talked about, you know, some best guard available type options. And those are more the players I think the Grizzlies, those players would be the ones who are in play if the Grizzlies end up in the 7, 8, 9 range. You know, the 8 spot is actually where, percentage-wise, that's the most likely landing point. So if they're at 8, I think, you know, Donovan Clingan, Alex Starr, the two most talented bigs, you know, in the class, they should be off the board by that point. So at this point, you're going for either a guard or you're going on pretty much like a plug-and-play type player, you know, like a Dalton Kmet, who I think is an older player who you can expect to come in and be ready to play, more so than going to get one of those guys who you're going to, you know, transfer down to the Hustle for some games and you're going to, you know, be a 13th or 14th man in Memphis.
DeMichael, I have said about whatever the number is for the Grizzlies, wherever they pick that first rounder, you know, if they hang on to it and it's in the top, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 or so, I want somebody that next March is going for NBA Rookie of the Year. I want somebody that helps, that makes noise. I don't want a 10th man.
Yeah, and with that scenario, I think there are only a few guys that really fit that scenario. If you want a plug-and-play, a ready-to-play guy, I mean, I don't even know if Alex Starr, as talented as he is, like he may, you know, he can play for, you know, a team, a rebuilding team, but with the situation that the Grizzlies are in, you're in the Western Conference where you can't play around with any of these gangs. So, I think Donovan Clegan, you know, fits that mold. I think Dalton Kmet, as an older prospect, you know, more physically developed prospect, fits that role as well. But and there are a couple other guys who are technically freshmen, but I think just their talent levels, like Rob Dillingham, I think we know what he's going to be. Sure, he's gonna grow in certain areas, but you can tell with the explosiveness, the athleticism, you know, just he's very, like, he plays cocky. You know, you know he's not going to be that rookie who comes out there and is scared to shoot and has to go through all that. You know, with Reed Shepard's floor, you know you're going to get at least a very good three-point shooter and a guy who has really good defensive hands on that end. You know he's going to have a solid floor. So those are certain players that come to mind that fit that bill to me. But, yeah, when you look at it like that, Brett, I think you're really, really shrinking the pool. And I'm with you for the most part because, I mean, we know the situation that the team is in. They're not a rebuilding team like most of those teams in the lottery. So, yeah, you want someone who you feel like can come in and play right away.
Yeah, no, absolutely you do. Talking to Michael Cole, Grizzlies beat writer at the Commercial Appeal, get some NBA playoff talk, a team that the Grizzlies have been familiar with a little bit a couple years ago meeting in the playoffs, the Minnesota Timberwolves. They finish off the sweep last night over the Phoenix Suns. Anthony Edwards, what he's been able to do has been really, really fun to watch. What have you made of this Timberwolves team? A lot of questions coming in to the playoffs, into the series, how they would fare come playoff basketball, but they made it easy, made it look easy against the Suns. What did you think about that series win?
Man, I got a lot of thoughts. Let me give my unpopular opinions out the way first,
okay.
because those are the ones I'm most heartfelt about. So I said it on here too before the playoffs. So I hope y'all remember, but we're about to see it kind of play out. It's going to play out with every single series. The Western Conference was so good. We talked about this all year long. The West was so good that no matter who loses these series, it's going to be drastic overreaction in every single one. Like, people are not going to remember the fact that these teams from the one seed to the eight were separated by 6-7 games. They're not going to remember the fact that, if Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram don't get hurt in February, the Pelicans are a top four seed and not a team down 3-0. Or the Phoenix Suns, if they have Bradley Beal for, 75 games instead of 52 games, they are a four seed or potentially maybe even a three seed, and they're not playing the Timberwolves in the first round. And, like, there are so many factors that basically if you look at the top four, top five in the West, all of those teams were the healthy teams. But if you take it a step further and look at the top four and top five in the West, those teams have continuity. They have familiarity. So sticking with this series in particular, the Timberwolves and the Suns, here's two things that stand out to me. Everyone is saying, it's time to blow up the Suns. It's not going to work. This is proof. This trio is not going to ever work. And my rebuttal to that is, do we not remember the Timberwolves last year? Do we not remember everyone saying, this Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns thing, it was a terrible trade. Everyone was saying it. Terrible trade. The too big thing. It's not going to work. And guess what? Year two comes in. They have a year under their belts together. And, I mean, they look like a team that could go to the finals. They look like the best challenger to the Nuggets. I mean, they just manhandled, the Suns. And this is after that same exact starting five we saw against the Suns lost in the first round last year. 4-1 against the Nuggets. Same exact starting five. Mike Conley, Anthony Edwards. They had Nikhil Alexander-Walker off the bench, Jaden McDaniels, and Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert. Same group, first round exit last season. Same group this year, just 4-0 the Phoenix Suns.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, as it pertains to the Suns, and it's going to be the case when some of these other Western Conference teams fall out, because you're going to see the same reactions. When that Clippers-Mavs series, both of those teams could realistically be finals team, but at the same time, whoever loses, we're going to overreact because they're going to lose in the first round, even though they lost to a very strong opponent who was a part of a very strong Western Conference. And people are going to say, is it time to give up on the Kyrie and Luka pairing, being that now in year two, they still can't get out of the first round? Are they going to say, has the Clipper, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George tandem run its course? A first-round exit after a season that had so much promise. Like, no matter what's happened, people are going to overreact because the Western Conference was so good. But I think a team like the Suns if they bring in a point guard, it doesn't even have to be someone great. It's just someone who can take the pressure off those other guys, as we saw in that series. Like, the Timberwolves just bully ball hounded them. Like, you take the pressure off of Devin Booker and Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant bringing the ball up the court and running pick and rolls 45, 50 times a game, and you have a point guard, it makes their job easier, and you get a much more free-flowing offense that's harder to guard. And I think they could be a team that could take a jump next season, like the Timberwolves did this year, like the Mavericks. Like, remember, the Mavericks traded for Kyrie last season, did not make the playoffs. And people were wondering, oh, yeah, the Kyrie-Luka thing, maybe it doesn't work. Now they look like a top-tier Western Conference team. So, you know, I'm super careful with the overreaction because the Western Conference was so tight and so good. I mean, it's 5-6 games pretty much in the regular season that swung the way we view all of these teams. And who's to say it won't be, you know, Jokic or Murray dealing with an injury next season, and then the Nuggets fall to the 6th or 7th spot, and they be the team that fall in the first round. Like, it could get flipped around just as quickly as it did.
DeMichael, you're talking the truth. And oh, by the way, the one seed in the West did not even make the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's case in point there. Like, it's there's experience that needs to take place. You know, when you talk about a team like the Suns, when you talk about, you know, some other teams, like teams that even didn't make it, like the Rockets, and it's just everything is situational, like the Kings. If Malik Monk and Kevin Herter don't miss over a month towards the end of the season, the Kings are probably in the top six.
Yeah, it makes Mike Brown a lot better coach.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They were all season long. And Golden State, from mid-February on, had one of the best records in the Western Conference. Why? Because that's when Draymond Green and all of the stuff that was going on with him this season got put behind them. If Draymond Green isn't getting the suspended indefinitely and the early season stuff he went through and all that, the Warriors are probably a top six team in the Western Conference. They're probably in there. So it's situational and circumstantial things. And now we're talking about, oh, should the Warriors blow it up and stuff like that? Like, I mean, maybe they should, but I think given the circumstances, we got to be careful to overreact on breaking up certain cores that, I mean, might still have a chance. Like, I don't think it'll be smart. I just don't think it'll be smart for the Suns to say, let's blow it up without ever putting a point guard on the floor with those guys to see how that works. Like, if you put a point guard on the floor and you lose in the first round again, okay, yeah, this just ain't going to work. Mm-hmm. But I think you have another option to try, you know, before you give up. Like, the Timberwolves just changed some things schematically. You know, they basically said, Rudy Gobert, for the first time in your career, you're going to have to guard on the perimeter more. And it was smart because you get past Rudy Gobert, you still got Karl Anthony Towns and Jaden McDaniels. They're one of the longest teams in the NBA, so they can do that. The Jazz couldn't do that because if you got past Rudy Gobert, it was an easy 2 points. That's not the case with the Timberwolves. So, you know, it's some experience things, and you continue to play around with things, and they'll figure stuff out.
And I hope we don't panic on some of these coaches. I mean, Darvin Ham feels very fragile for him. For Frank Vogel, out in L.A., people talking about him being out in Phoenix. He hadn't been there a year yet. Got hired last year, early June. It's coming up a year, but about 10 months right now. I'm afraid the Clippers will do something to Tyronn Lue if he doesn't advance.
Yeah, when you think of Frank Vogel, I like to say, like, the people think about, like, oh, your first year on the job compared to your second year. And then you think about, you know, with Ty Lue, Ty Lue has rarely gotten, you know, a full healthy roster at this point of the season, which, you know, maybe he never will. Maybe it's the way the team's built and it's just not going to happen. But at the same time, I mean, he took that team to the Western Conference Finals. They beat the number one seeded Jazz, Rudy Gobert, led team, and they did it in an unconventional way, going real small, playing Rudy Gobert off the floor. Like, that was coaching. That was 100% coaching, and Kawhi got hurt in that series. So they played the Western Conference Finals against the Suns without Kawhi Leonard. And if you have Kawhi, you probably beat the Suns in that series. And you probably beat the Suns last year in the playoffs, too, when the Clippers lost in the first round, when they had Kawhi for a couple games and didn't have him or Paul George the rest of that series. So Ty Lue's a terrific coach. And again, it's just I feel like some coaches you know, get tough reps based on situation. All this can trace back to the Grizzlies, too, like everything that we've talked about. Because, like, even going back to, you know, not overreacting to personnel and things, like, I've said it before, but I do think the Grizzlies did overreact in a little bit when it comes to the Steven Adams situation. I just can't get past the fact that we never saw Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Marcus Smart, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Steven Adams. They never gave it a shot. They never said, you know what, let's see this before deciding to move off of Steven Adams, Marcus Smart, or whoever else. I just think it was worth a shot to see that, hey, okay, we know that we had to replace Dylan Brooks. We went and got Marcus Smart. We got the other four guys that have led back-to-back 50-plus win seasons. Let's run it back. And Steven Adams was a big part of that. So I think there might have been some type of overreaction there on that part. And then, going to coaching, it applies as well. You know, certain people, I mean, you've talked about it, Brett, haven't given Taylor Jenkins, you know, a fair shot, so to speak, because of all the stuff that happened this year, where we all know when the team is healthy, he's had them comfortably as a number two seed the previous two seasons.
Yeah, moving in on being the winningest coach ever, and we all thought he would get it this year, but also know that this year was one of those abnormal years, literally, of all time. DeMichael Cole, our guest, he's on the Grizzlies beat for the Commercial Appeal, and he joins us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. Give me a percentage of opening night next year that Marcus Smart's a Memphis Grizzly.
Oh, boy. Right now, I'm going to say 60. I'm going to say 60, mm-hmm. As in, it's likely,
but they'll listen. I think they should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we talk about the logjam at on the wing, right? And think about it. When you brought in Marcus Smart, what was the idea? In the simplest form, it was like you got a 2-for-1 player. Like you got a guy who could play point guard in the rotation when Ja Morant was out of the game, and you got a guy who could replace Dylan Brooks as your wing defender, as your premier wing defender. Well, now that we've seen the emergence of Vince Williams and Gigi Jackson to a lesser degree, he is worth mentioning at least. Mm-hmm. But Vince Williams is the one we've seen do it against, you know, the KDs, the Lucas, and whatnot. So I want to start with him. But we've seen that Vince Williams show that he can be that caliber of player, and they've won with him in that lineup. You know, when Ja's first game back, Vince Williams was the one starting. Marcus Smart was still out. So we've seen that work. So there's your wing defender part of it. And then the backup point guard part, you know, Scottie Pippen Jr. looks fine. You know, he's you know, still more to see there. But I'm comfortable enough with saying, oh, if you got Derrick Rose and Scottie Pippen Jr. right now as your two backup point guard to Ja Morant, I think – that works, you know, enough, because you're not going to ask them. I mean, Tyus Jones, even when he was in that role, it was 18 minutes a game. You're not going to ask him to play 29 minutes and be the sixth man of the year, because you got Luke Kennard coming off the bench. You got Gigi Jackson. Like, you got Desmond Bane in the guard rotation. He's going to do some ball handling stuff as well. So I think from last season to this season, the value of the role that Marcus Smart plays has diminished a little bit. Mm. You know, not completely. I still see the value in him being on his team, you know, with the veteran stuff and his wing defense and whatnot. But last year it felt like, oh, they gotta go out and address this. This year you found Vince Williams. You found Scottie Pippen Jr. Derrick Rose, when he played, I think was solid enough to be a backup point guard, you know, in this league. I think so. So, you know, I feel like you got decently enough there where you can listen. You know, you may say, hey, we're going to be stingy. We're not going to, you know, overreact. But you should listen, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, DeMichael, before we let you go, I'm going to ask you some predictions for some of these series that we've got going on right now. Mainly these two. We'll see one tonight. And then the other tomorrow. Do you think the Denver Nuggets wrap up the series tonight against the Lakers, and then We saw the Indiana Pacers take a 3-1 lead last night. Do you think the Pacers wrap that one up against the Bucks? We're starting to see reports coming out from Shams that there is doubt that Giannis and Dame Lillard will be able to play in the Game 5 against the Pacers. So do you think with those two guys potentially out that the Pacers wrap that one up in their next game?
Yeah, man, that's a tough way to go out, right? Like, they make the coaching change basically on some, like, it's all or nothing now. Like, we get to the ship here, and then everybody's just, bodies just start falling apart. Like, that's a tough way to go out. But, yeah, the Pacers pounded team, it was going to be a tough series regardless for the Bucks. Like, let's make no mistake about that. Whether they had Giannis and Dame and whoever else, it was going to be tough to beat, you know, this revamped version of the Pacers with, you know, Siakam playing a big role and Tyrese Halliburton and all those dudes. It was always going to be tough. But, yeah, I think we're closing in on the Pacers-Knicks series.
That'd be fun.
DeMichael, who's the one player in these playoffs that it's appointment TV for you, watching him play, shake and bake and score and excite the crowd? Who is the one guy that is appointment TV for you?
Man, it's almost too easy right now. I mean, I don't want to like act like I'm jumping on the wave, but it's Anthony Edwards.
It's hard
like,
not it, to.
It's, mine's I'm, Jalen Brunson, guys. Well, I promise
that's
you.
That's a great one, too.
I'm going to throw a different one. I do like the idea of watching Shai Gilgeous in the playoffs, but I want to see it in more pressure-packed situations. Like, the Pelican series is not the series that, with all due respect to them, it's not the series that I want to see him next round when he has to go against the Clippers or the Mavs, and he's staring down Luka on the other end, or he's staring down Paul George and potentially Kawhi and James Harden on the other end. That's when I really want to see how Shai Gilgeous, you know, leans into the moment. But right now, I mean, Anthony Edwards dunking over KD, the block against Devin Booker, you know, kind of just, it was a moment where it's like, hey, I'm the best shooting guard now, you know, like, he is really appointment TV right now. Every game, he could dunk on somebody, he could have a highlight block. It's like Ja in Memphis. Like, you go into the game, you know something's going to happen, you just don't know what it'll be.
Yeah, no, it's he's fun to watch. Jalen Brunson's fun to watch. There are some really, really fun guards to watch in these NBA playoffs. But, Michael, as always, so much fun chatting with you on a Monday afternoon. Enjoy your week. We'll do it again next Monday.
All right, take care, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, DeMichael. DeMichael Cole from the Commercial Appeal. He's the Grizzlies beat writer over there. He joins us. Talk a lot of Grizzlies, but also with the NBA playoffs going on, he's nice enough to join us and talk some NBA playoffs. We got three games tonight that should be fun. Two opportunities for teams to close it out, and we'll see if they can do it.
So your guy's Anthony Edwards on exciting player?
Man, I think it's got to be.
Johnny, who's your guy?
I like Anthony Edwards, too, right now. Like, what he's just doing.
Feels like it's bandwagon, though.
Yeah, I feel like it's not fair.
But it's a good spot for the league to be in.
Sure.
This is a real transition period, but there's plenty out there, and it's why it was a miss this year. But this time next year, Ja Morant could be back on these lists.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he can.
Absolutely. And I think,
agree.
I mean, you look at it, SGA, Brunson.
Yeah, man, the league's in a great place.
Ja, I mean, Luka. There are so many great.
Whoever got the healthy Zion.
Sure, yeah, when Zion's healthy, it feels like, he's can't miss. Booker's can't miss. I mean, there's so many can't miss players, and now you're seeing these younger guys are starting to kind of steal the show and kind of start to put their names in there. So it's been really, really fun to watch kind of that side storyline of these NBA playoffs. So we'll see what happens tonight, but an opportunity for two teams to be knocked out tonight and two teams to advance to the next round. Well, let's go ahead and get to a break. When we come back, we'll talk about what's trending.
Be sure to follow us at Sports56WHBQ on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to watch live video of our shows, stay up to date with station events, and have chances to win prizes. Don't miss out on anything that's going on. Follow us at Sports56WHBQ. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Times. We have about 30 minutes left in today's show. Plenty to get to during What's Trending. I want to start off the news that happened earlier this afternoon. Travis Kelce has a new contract extension, 2-year extension with the Chiefs. So any rumors out there that he wasn't going to return, anything like that, is gone. So he'll be back with the Chiefs, and certainly with what they did in the draft, I think should be a lot of excitement around Kansas City after their Super Bowl.
And Clark Hunt playing hardball on the stadium issue, yeah, on the refurbishing of Arrowhead and staying at that existing location, and he will go to the Kansas suburbs to, sure, west of Kansas City, into another state if he has to.
Yeah, no, and, you know, that's going to be an interesting kind of saga to see how it plays out and what they can do. But you're absolutely right. I think they'll do whatever they can for a new stadium. And if that means going somewhere else, certainly not relocating to a different city or anything. But, you know, they could definitely, I think there are definitely options on the table.
And Bill DeWitt's already saying he wants his share of the money, or the idea that they floated it back around when Busch Stadium 2 turned into Busch Stadium 3, where they currently play. Mark Lamping even floated back then of going across the river into Illinois.
Oh, good Lord. Wow. Yeah. So, it's kind of always the, issue when it comes to stadiums, of if you can get them, how you're going to get them, we're kind of dealing with something similar to it right now here in Memphis, and we'll see how it plays out here. Obviously, we'll see how it plays out.
There's more. It seems like it's more pushback now than it has been in the past.
Sure, sure, yes, and I'm not sure
because those owners were always rich. I mean, look, the Cardinals were owned by Anheuser-Busch. I mean, you knew that they had a lot, sure, of money, but it didn't seem, look, it's their money too, and you can spend it how you want, but it didn't seem like yesteryear flaunted it quite like this.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point. There's definitely something to that.
I mean, I hate to play the class warfare game, but, you know, Jerry Jones in his submarine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jerry Jones in his helicopter.
Yeah, yeah.
Jerry Jones in his fleet of everything.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah. Submarine certainly, I think, tops all.
Now, way back in cowboy lore, Tex Murchison, he was plenty wealthy.
Mm-hmm, yeah. You're right
well,
about that.
Well, until he wasn't, and all business went bust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see. But, I mean, certainly it never feels like there's a we always talk about conference realignment and how it never stops. It never seems like stadium refurbishing and new stadiums. It never feels like that stops. It always feels like somebody around one of the major sports leagues is trying to do something new with a stadium.
And I'm not saying that we didn't know, but all these lists, whether it's, Barron's or Forbes,
sure,
or Fortune,
sure,
of wealthiest people in the world, wealthiest sports owners, where they rank, how they rank, the new owner of the Phoenix Suns that play college basketball at Michigan State, just how fabulously wealthy he is.
I've never heard that.
In 2000 for Izzo. Huh. Well, he was like the 19th man on a 12-man team.
I think you should talk about that more, because I don't think people
I really should. he talks about it plenty.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. But no, it will be interesting. But you're right. I think, we certainly know who the big spenders
are
nowadays.
Clark Hunt's dad was not
right.
broke.
No,
I mean,
no,
he had a brother who tried to corner the silver market.
Well, yeah, yes. So, no, but it's weird. It's definitely weird. Brett, we talked earlier about Tigers and Arkansas and trying to get that game back playing in basketball. Penny Hardaway's kind of tried to throw the ball in Cal's court.
He should keep
happens.
It there. He should stay on serve about it.
I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you. But we did have a lot of texts earlier about
sure
it. We were too busy. I couldn't get to them. So I want to get to a couple of them right now. We have a text from an Arkansas fan. It says, I am an Arkansas fan first and foremost, but I do pull for the Tigers. I most definitely want the game to be played. I like to see that, you know, from an Arkansas perspective, wanting to see the game. We've got one that says, would love to see Memphis play Arkansas. I will never forget when Memphis met Arkansas in the NCAAs, seeing Todd Day with a towel over his head crying. Loved
92
it.
In Milwaukee.
And then we got another Tiger fan, says, don't really care either way. If they play it, they play it. If not, you know, you just move on to another team that Penny Hardaway's put on the schedule. And I think as much as I do want them to play Arkansas, it does seem like if Arkansas is not there, Penny Hardaway will put a good opponent on the schedule.
I see and hear some of that. I don't know what would the right road. Not a lot of that, but some of that.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised by that because now, in his opinion, it's kind of easy come, easy go.
Sure.
Well, not playing Tennessee.
No.
Not playing Louisville.
No.
Not playing, and I don't know if the yen to play Kentucky is what it was with Big Mean Cal there.
Right.
not playing the big cross country thing with UCLA or Kansas or North Carolina and Duke.
Right.
So who do we just easily plug and play?
Yeah. Well, that's good.
And kind of been through the SEC thing. I went over all the teams really over this last 5, 6, 7 years straight. The Penny Hardaway years. Yeah. He's played just about all of them.
No, you're absolutely right.
We talked Anthony Edwards in that game, the home and home series with Georgia.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And so there's a lot more texts in here, and a lot of them are saying that they want
Texas
to
do anything for you.
Oh, absolutely.
To play them? Would me too.
Absolutely. I think there's still, I think, teams out there that I would love to see Penny Hardaway get on the schedule that aren't like the traditional straight up bluest of blue bloods like Duke, Kansas, North Carolina. I do think there are still teams out there that if they got on the schedule, I'd say, ooh, that's a big time game.
The sentiment, and it's a lot of that out there too, of that Arkansas, the one you read from the Arkansas fan that talked about Arkansas through and through. No doubt who he's going to be for when they play.
Right.
But he has that softer spot, that affinity, kinship, pulling for the Tigers. We used to have a lot of that, and it's so ironic. The person that I thought most destroyed that is now the coach at Arkansas.
How about that?
When he was the coach at Memphis, his words, direct quote, we do not want you dual loyalty fans. We don't want that Tennessee football fan that's clad in orange. We don't want you.
Yeah.
And there's always been, because of the Memphis TV market in eastern Arkansas and in North Mississippi, I mean, well, when I go to Oxford, you know what news I watch on Friday night and Saturday morning, I get up and watch Memphis.
Sure. That's
what everybody watches in Oxford.
Right.
And even down to West Point and Starkville, you can get. So they always had that, and Calipari ruined it. I'm not going to say who, but a person really close to Tigers Athletics then, in the middle of it, was smart enough to recognize it and said to me, we were having a conversation about it, and he said, before he's done here, he's going to run off every one of our old friends.
Oh, man.
Every one of them, and he just about did.
I hate that. I do. Because, I mean, I know plenty of people my age or maybe a little bit older than me that kind of miss that, you know, Cal when that was happening, too young to kind of really take it all in. But they are, you know, went to Arkansas or go to Arkansas or just big Arkansas football fans and don't really care as much about Memphis football because all of their dedication is to Arkansas. But when it comes to basketball, yeah, they love the Razorbacks. But with all of that kind of growing up around the city and stuff like that, they've become huge Memphis basketball fans and love Memphis basketball. I think there is a lot of that, and certainly was a lot of it back then. And I hate that it was ran off by now their head coach.
And more students, more graduating seniors than ever from Shelby County going to Fayetteville and to Mississippi State because they've I think both places have waived out of state, haven't they?
I believe so. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure Arkansas. I know Arkansas
Bridge got expensive.
Sure,
I mean, just to cross it and get that out-of-state tab, as we know, in a lot of places out-of-state's very expensive. Brian, I've told you this. It was a million years ago. Now, I know that. But except Eastern Arkansas guys could understand it. Wynn, Far City, Marianna, Helena, Blytheville, we could understand it. to try to describe to someone from Little Rock or Texarkana or Fort Smith or Northwest Arkansas, yeah, we like Tiger basketball. It was like the creature of the Blue Lagoon was trying to talk to them. They just couldn't understand it.
Oh, that's funny. That's hilarious.
You know, it's a long way from Texarkana to Memphis.
Sure, absolutely.
They kind of think more Texas
right.
than they do Eastern Arkansas, Memphis, Mississippi Delta.
Sure. And that's easy to understand. You know, like you said, way closer to Texas and a lot more Texas fans, I'm sure, down there. But you're right.
One of the great sports atmospheres ever. Mm-hmm. February 92. Ty Day at Arkansas, yeah. Penny Hardaway at Memphis, game at the Pyramid, 92-88, the Tigers beat Arkansas in a classic game. Playing in February, I wish we had more of those games. I want more conference games in November and December, mm-hmm. and I want more national intersectional games in February.
Yeah, no, I'd definitely be for that. I mean, you see all of these big-time games and big-time matchups right when the season starts in November, and a lot of those get overlapped with football and other sorts of things. I'd love one of those, you know, on a Saturday when you can really dedicate it to college basketball, have some of these big-time non-conference matchups.
That game in 92, Dave Woloshin tells a great story. It really helped his career in doing national games and doing a lot of ESPN work. The big play-by-play analyst of those days was John Saunders and Jimmy Valvano.
Really?
And they were set to go. John Saunders gets to town and loses his voice. I mean, just open his mouth and nothing would come out. Oh, so Dave had to pinch hit and did the game. You know, had to call it down the middle.
Sure,
you know, no preference. Either side, just call the game. And it used to run on ESPN Classic.
That's incredible. Wow, I had no idea.
And classic game.
Wow.
Every possession. Now imagine a 92-88 is a high scoring college game.
Sure.
You know, to score that many points in a 40-minute college game, every possession felt like fourth and goal at the one-inch line.
I'm going to have to try to search the deep archives of the YouTube ESPN machine. Classic YouTube and see if I can find
it. When you see Dave, you're going to think you're looking at Jacob.
Oh, wow. Wow! Yeah, that'd be really fun. So I'll have to try to find that tonight.
I found the box score from Georgia and Memphis that Anthony Edwards played in. You want to hear some names?
Please.
Severe Wheeler on Georgia that day.
Love that.
Edwards only 13 points that day. The Tigers: Precious Chua, Isaiah Maurice, Boogie Ellis, Damian Ball, Lester Kenyon as starters.
Wow.
And remember, that game was famous. DJ Jeffries, the late scratch, and noted epidemiologist Brett Norsworthy said that day that was the precursor to, about a month and a half later, the vid. Because we know it was in the country, October, November, fall of 19, and this game was on January 4th, 2020.
I think you'd probably be right in that.
Noted epidemiologist.
Of course. That's why you have, because you're a multi-tool athlete. So, but no, I remember that game very well, and a win for Georgia. Not Anthony Edwards' best game, but it certainly was a win and was impressive to watch him. But let's go ahead and get to a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show with Taco Bell Crunch Time.
We are real sports talk. Sports 56 WHBQ. Available on your radio dial at 560 AM and 98.5 FM, as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, "Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, stay tuned in to Real Sports Talk. Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
This is pretty cool, and we're just getting started, so.
Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
This is for all the biggest crunch time.
You are looking live in your life. Have you seen anything like that?
Goodbye! Hello! it's obviously crunch time.
Hammer, nail, coffin, this baby is over.
The Double Steak Grilled Cheese Burrito, so good. Double the steak with nacho cheese sauce, seasoned rice, red strips, sour cream, and the three cheese blend wrapped inside a warm flour tortilla. With even more three cheese blend grilled on the top. The Double Steak Grilled Cheese Burrito, it hits the spot now at Taco Bell. And at Taco Bell, when they say they are feeding people's lives with unexpected good, they mean it. Bowl food you can't get anywhere else.
Well, Brett, what I learned today, my beloved Kraken have fired their head coach, Dave Hackstall, and most of the staff. And, you know, this is going to be my first NHL coaching search. So I'm excited. I'm curious to see how it'll play out. I fully understand going into this that I'm not going to know who any of the candidates are. All of the names that are going to be thrown out, I'm not going to know who they are. So I'm probably going to love all of them.
Hockey fires that coach a lot.
They sure do. So I'm probably going to look at all of these coaching candidates and say, that's the guy. That's the guy. So I have to rely on my friends that are already hockey fans to point me into the right direction, shoot me straight on these guys, and we'll see how it plays out. But a dark day for the Seattle Kraken.
2 years in?
No, third year.
Expansion franchise. Boy, they're quick, aren't they?
They are quick.
What I learned, Lane Kiffin with 29 wins is in the last 3 years at Ole Miss, 34-15 in 4 years, and he's never had a first rounder. Only one second round pick. No first rounder, no second round pick this year. 3 second rounders since he's been there. And this year, you know, a lot of fifth, sixth, seventh. Mm-hmm. This is the team that's loaded. This is the team that he can show that he can go deep in the playoffs, but he has proved he can coach.
Yeah, no, he absolutely has. And so we'll see. I think you could have a lot of guys from this year's team that will hear their name called early in the draft. What I could have done without, it's got to be the MLB uniform crisis that we continue to see, you know, how it plays out. Now Nike has said that they are going to fix the jerseys, they promise, and that they could be fixed by the 2025 season. Wish we had addressed it sooner. Maybe we could have had them ready and fixed by this year, and now it sounds like we'll have to wait.
The nameplate doesn't bother me like it's bothering some.
Now, honestly, they have not bothered me as much on the field as I thought they would when I first saw them. Because at that point, I'm just watching the game. I'm not paying attention to what the uniforms
They're very
look like.
Stretchy.
They're different, and don't hit a walk off and get that water cooler or Gatorade cooler to throw on.
No, it's still alive.
Yeah, it sure will.
Could have done without that. Could have done without. I'm very sorry that Chris Finch took the hit from Mike Conley.
Oh,
but I know a way this could have been prevented. When the action is on your end of the court, everyone in the bench area must be in a seat.
Mm-hmm.
This year at the Grizzlies games with all those injured players, it was a bad look all year, them standing around. First of all, those people sitting behind that bench paid a lot of money. They can't see over seven footers.
That's a really good point.
Sit down.
Yeah, no, that's
And in college, they make you sit down.
Well, they sure do. You're right about that. Where are you beaming tonight?
Beam me to Denver, to Rocky Mountain High, and a good wave goodbye to the Fakers. Goodbye to LeBron. He's won his only title. He's winning in Los Angeles, and that was at Disney World in the bubble. But maybe they can have another IST parade this offseason. It's always somebody else's fault. The refs, Vogels, Darvin Ham, never LeBron's.
Yeah, certainly we'll have plenty of time to plan that in-season tournament parade. I've had plenty of work trying to write up the Cowboys parade route, so I could, you know, I'll lend a hand if they need it.
Years in the making.
Draw up, yeah, I can draw it up, what it will look like. Beam me tonight to the Thunder-Pelicans game. Thunder have the opportunity to sweep on the road. This Thunder team has been so much fun to watch. We'll see if they can get it done tonight.
Must win tonight for Miami, 2-1 against Boston. No chance if they don't take that one tonight.
No, not at all. Some really good baseball games as well.
Red tonight. Hot White Sox.
How about that? A weekend sweep for them. So they're rolling as they take on the Twins tonight. Some other really fun games, including late night Braves and Mariners. But that's all the time we have today. Enjoy your night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow afternoon.